You can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 2. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on our rest. Our rest. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day," and that seventh should be sixth, "the sixth day God ended his work in which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So after 6 days of creating our world, God did what? He rested. He rested. He set aside a day to rest. And if God sets aside a day to rest, then you know it has to be what? Important, right? God sets aside a day for rest, it must be important for us to rest, right? And rest is a key to success in all kinds of endeavors, right? Whatever we want to do in life, rest is key. You know, if you think about an athlete, if he doesn't rest between games or between practices, then he's not able to perform to the best of his ability, right? He needs that rest, right? If a student doesn't rest, doesn't get the sleep that they need, or take breaks, they're going to perform poorly on tests or have trouble memorizing things. Rest helps a parent be more patient. We all know when we haven't slept a lot, how difficult that can be, right? A volunteer to be more cheerful, right? Or even like a CEO to be able to make better decisions. So whatever it is, rest is a key to success in that endeavor, right? It's important. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4. So there's a reason that God rested and made it available for us to rest and told his people to take a day to rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise," or in this manner, "and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works." Yeah, we just read that. Verse 9. "There remaineth therefore a rest to" who? To the people of God. Are we the people of God? That's right. So there's a rest for God's people. Just like this guy right here. Right? There's a rest for God's people. It's available. That rest is the basis for peaceful living in our lives. Okay? The rest is the basis for peaceful living in our lives. And very few, you know, so-called Christians really understand the depth of that rest. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings 8:54. So that rest is available to God's people. And it is the basis for peaceful living in our lives. Did God need to rest on the seventh day? Was he worn out? Did he run out of ability and energy? No. No. But he wanted to provide his people an example and an opportunity to rest. Because he knew we would need it. 1 Kings 8:54. "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he, what? Promised. So God had promised rest to his people, and he had given them that rest. He had come through. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Okay? And that was their rest, that God would be with them as he was with their fathers. The promises that he made to Moses had come to pass. And the people of Israel, that whole nation, was at rest, at peaceful living, a state of peaceful living, at ease. Why? Because they did God's word under Solomon's leadership. Under his wisdom, they walked according to the word. And they had great rest. But that wasn't always the case for Israel. Go to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. So God can bless an entire nation with that rest, that peaceful ease of living, when they keep him first. Jeremiah 6:16. It says, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Okay? Stand ye in the ways. See and ask for those old paths, the things you used to do, the good way. And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, Nope, we will not walk therein. We won't do it. We're not going to do it. So at another time, God addresses Jerusalem, his people in Jerusalem, and they make a very different choice. They just flat out refuse. And they did not find the promised rest for their souls, right? So it's a choice. God makes that promise available, and it's just a matter of us claiming it, walking out on his word and claiming it. And then we'll have peaceful living. If not, then we won't have it. It's pretty simple. Go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus promised rest to the disciples that would follow him. Why? Because Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. So he was doing God's word. If his disciples would do the same, this is his promise. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
And doesn't that sometimes feel like us? Labored, heavy laden, like stuff is weighing down, or we're just beat, kind of worn out. He says, Come unto me if you're feeling that way, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Right? The yoke of Christ. Look at that yoke. That's a yoke right there. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right? His way, the work that he was doing. Okay, so a yoke is something they strap to two animals. Right? Across the backs of their necks, little collars went under them so it would stay on, and they pulled. They pulled a plow, or they pulled a wagon, or they pulled something behind them. Right? It was a tool of work. And what Jesus Christ is saying is that his yoke, the work he was doing, is easy work. It's not a heavy beam to be strapped across the back of your neck, but it's easy, it's light, right? Take that yoke upon you and it will be rest. It will be rest, you know? Jesus offered rest to those who were beaten down by the world, right? What was the answer? Taking on the yoke of Christ, walking the way that he did, right? It's not a matter of just like not doing anything at all, right? That's not real rest, like just stop working, period, right? But it's a matter of walking according to the word, doing what the word of God says, right? It's not just taking a break from work, but it's learning to work from doing the work that's really going to fulfill you and your soul. And that's to walk the way that Christ did. Go to Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. And we've read the records, right, in the Gospels. I mean, who, at the end of the day, who worked harder than Christ? Dude barely got any sleep most of the time, right? But his yoke was described as easy, right? We'll see that in a little while later. That's just a little... little foreshadowing for you. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Okay, so that's one principle to restful and peaceful living. Delight ourselves in God. Then he's going to give us the desires of our heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Right? If we commit our walk, our life, our decisions, we base them on the word, then he's going to bless us. Right? The jobs that I've always taken have always been with the idea of, does this work for my walk with God? And not the other way around. Is the house I buy a place where I can hold fellowship? Right? The decisions I make are, you know, I run them by God. Is this something that's going to work? And it blesses me too, right? Got great jobs, got a great house, right? Gotten to do great things. But that's what God promises, right? Commit your ways to him and you'll be blessed. It works. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Okay? So we commit our ways to God and then we can rest in the Lord. But part of that involves waiting patiently. And that's hard. It's really hard. It's hard to wait patiently. But that's what it says we have to do. We can rest in the Lord. We can be at ease in God, knowing the answer's coming. And that's how we wait patiently. Fret not thyself. Don't worry about it because of him who prospers in his way. Right? There's going to be always going to be people who appear to prosper doing what they want to do. You know, the word be damned. That's always going to happen because there's a God of this world, right? And there will be times where those people do find prosperity, but it's temporary. A lot of times those people are miserable people, right? They're not at rest. They might have all the money in the world, but they feel lonely. They might have all the stuff they could get their hands on, but they're unhappy and they're fearful. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass, right? Because that's where that comes from. It comes from the adversary. Don't pay attention to the people who appear to prosper. Rest in God and wait patiently for him. If we are conditioned by the people or the situations around us, then we should not expect to find rest. Because guess what? Most of those situations and people aren't great, right? We should be word conditioned. It's our little friend there. He's very happy and peaceful and content, despite all the chaos around them. Right? If we let all that outside stuff condition us, we're not going to be at rest. But if we put our trust in God, if we wait patiently for Him, the outside stuff doesn't matter. Right? We can be peaceful regardless. Right? Commit our ways to Him, trust in Him, delight ourselves in Him. God bless you. And we will be blessed, no matter what's happening. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Right? So when God tells us not to worry about the people around us, He's saying, don't be conditioned by them. Don't worry about what you see going on there. Don't get caught up in that stuff. You're not going to find rest there. You find rest trusting in God. Hebrews 10, verse 12. Speaking of Jesus Christ, but this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And that word sat is the same word as the word rest. Okay? When you sit down, you are resting from doing other things. You're not up and about, you are at rest. Okay? So the word sat there is the word rest. When Jesus Christ finished everything, what he set out to accomplish, he sat, he rested. Our right to peace, to rest, is because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. His finished work gives us the right to take a break, to sit down, to rest, to be peaceful. Right? Acts 23, we won't go there, but it says that the Holy Spirit sat upon each of them, right? Right? It sat upon each of them. It's the words it used. Again, representing the completeness of the fulfillment of that moment. Right? Holy Spirit being returned to people since the fall. An accomplishment. A completed work. And the Holy Spirit sat or rested upon each of them. That rest is just like, ah, it's finished. It's done. It's accomplished. Right? And that's what Jesus Christ did, sitting at the right hand of God. And when we truly accept that what the Word of God says about us, who we are, what we have, all the rights, privileges, and abilities, that's when we find great rest, right? If we're more than conquerors, we have everlasting life, we have a more than abundant one today, that's how we find rest. When we really accept those truths, you can just be at ease. So yeah, we can be at peace, right? Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The knowledge that when God looks at us, He sees us as one with Him, God in Christ in us. That's what needs to kick out the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the unrest. And in its place, we can find peace, perfect peace. Right? Shalom, shalom. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing. Not some things. Not that really big thing, but everything else is okay. But for nothing. Nothing. God's will is for us to not be anxious about anything. But instead, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So God is saying, regardless of anything else, just come to me. Let your request be made known unto me. Pray with thanksgiving to me rather than be anxious. That's how much He cares about us. And then it says, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that peace is a promise that we have to claim, right? That's up to us to claim it. We can, or we can just leave it on the table. But but that's something that we can do. Peace so huge that you can't understand it. You don't have to understand it to claim it. In fact, you're not going to. Right? But we can still claim it. We can rest in that. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And the word content there is self-adequate or self-sufficient. And we're not self-adequate or self-sufficient because we are awesome. It's because God made us to be that way. What he equipped us with gives us sufficiency in all things. It makes us adequate and meet to be partakers of his promises. Right? So we are adequate and we are sufficient because that's the way that God made us. That's the way he made us to be. So whatever the situation is, whatever state we're in, we have sufficiency in those things. It doesn't mean we're happy that we're like sick or that we got run over by a car or that our house burned down, but instead we don't get rattled by it. Instead, we have confidence that God will heal us or take care of it or provide for us, okay? The word content isn't like, oh, I'm so thrilled that I'm getting punched in the face right now. But it's, I know how to deal with these situations and these circumstances, and I have rest in that. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Okay, abased means to be brought low. I know how to deal with that situation, those low times, and I know how to be happy and pumped up, the times where we abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Right? No matter what the situation is, big or small, lack or abundance, tough times or great times, we know how to deal with those situations. And why? Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. That's why. We can do all things with Christ. The literal translation according to usage. I am ready for and equal to anything. I am ready for and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That's what that verse reads. We are ready for and equal to anything because of Christ in us. We are sufficient because of Christ's sufficiency. We have rest knowing that we're ready and equal to any task. Anything the world can throw at us, we're good. That's what it is to have rest. That's the rest that exists for God's people, right? Just like we're up in a little palm of his hand up there, just at ease with God. We have rest believing these tremendous truths and claiming the promises in his word. That's where it all comes from. We can be like the people in Jerusalem and say, nah, I'm not going to do it. But it's our choice to walk away from it or to claim it. Right? And I'd much rather be that guy than walking away from it. Right? So, I love you guys. You are the best.